This talk was given at Insight Meditation South Bay. For more information and a schedule of our events, visit the Insight Meditation South Bay website at www.imsb.org. For information about online programs, visit the Bodhi Courses website at www.bodhicourses.org. Bodhi is spelled B-O-D-H-I.
I want to ask, just so I have a sense of all of you, how many of you, how many of you have encountered the practice of self-compassion, mindful self-compassion, in the past? Okay. And how many of you have encountered loving-kindness practice in the Insight tradition? Lots of you, okay. Have any of you ever had any challenges with doing loving-kindness practice? So you laugh, because those of us who are teachers and also practitioners, I mean, so many of us, and this is what is often talked about in the West, so many of us, I feel like standing up, so many of us do have difficulty with self-compassion and self-friendship. So when we bring that loving kindness to ourselves, it can feel uncomfortable or odd or whatever. And so often a lot of us who guide the loving kindness practices will start with imagining someone you know cares for you is sending you the loving kindness phrases, so that then you get a little of the feeling of it, and then maybe you can actually bridge over to feeling it for yourself. The self-compassion training is just like a really huge dose of that, of working with bringing self-compassion to yourself. And I just want to mention that I trained with Kristen Neff and Christopher Germer at a 5-day residential training in Esalen with about 80 people, about 90% of whom were therapists and mindfulness teachers. And literally half the time, people were in tears. It was really something. And same thing with the teacher training, which was a 6-day residential training of 60 therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, meditation teachers. And so what happens when we bring self-compassion to ourselves, we're working with difficulties, actually, and then learning to be with those difficulties with that sense of self-friendship or kindness. And it is not easy. And in your handouts, I just want to call your attention to the back of the cover, where it talks about tips on practicing self-compassion. Not the backside of the whole handout, but if you open it and look at the back of the cover page, it talks about what can sometimes happen. Have any of you heard of backdraft with fire? Like if you open a door to let, you know, sort of, I don't know much about dealing with fires, but I guess you open the door to somehow go and save someone, and because the oxygen rushes in, the fire rushes out. And they talk about that with mindful self-compassion, that you can get backdraft when you open your heart and you try to bring some compassion to your own pain. The pain can actually feel like it increases. It's kind of like in teaching mindfulness-based stress reduction, we spend in the Jon Kabat-Zinn course. Have any of you taken that? So in the Jon Kabat-Zinn 8-week program in mindfulness-based stress reduction, we spend the first 2 weeks doing body scanning every day for 20 to 45 minutes a day, just feeling our bodies, feeling our bodies, feeling our breathing, feeling our bodies, noticing, creating that kind of bridge to our own self, connecting our mind and our body through noticing. And people who have physical pain have a lot of trouble with that, because when you have physical pain and you stop thinking about other things, the pain then seems amplified. And I think of it sort of the same way. And so when you bring awareness to yourself and your own emotional difficulties, maybe, or your relational difficulties or whatever, things maybe you judge yourself for, you feel bad about, it can actually feel pretty bad at first. And if you're mindfulness practitioners already and insight meditators, I'm guessing most of you have had some contact with this, right? Sort of facing difficulties. How many of you have worked with, I'm guessing a lot of you have, yeah. So this idea of backdraft is important when you're working with the mindful self-compassion practices. And tonight is going to be a very light introduction to this, to the mindful self-compassion program. But I want to let you know that it is an 8-week program. It is available at El Camino Hospital and some other places in the Bay Area. Increasing numbers of people are learning to teach it. And so if you are interested and want to learn more, there are many ways to do so. There are 8-week classes. Some of us teach smaller classes. You can go online and find all the resources and all the guided practices available for free. So the handouts I've given you are freely available online, and if you actually Google the title, the Mindfulness MSC Core Skills handouts, you'll find the whole set of 25 practices. So Kristen and Christopher are very generous. You can actually go to their websites and download them guiding you through all the practices. But it's also important to know that these practices can elicit emotions. And so you want to take care of yourself and not do too much at once. And really use the gesture of self-compassion if you can find one that you like. So before doing anything more, I want to go back to that suggestion to find a gesture. It's called soothing touch, or we call it the warming up gesture. I put a lot of emphasis on this now because after teaching MBSR for many years and teaching people all kinds of practices for bringing down resistance to things as they are that are painful so you can allow them to be there, and allowing is the big word for mindfulness and all of that, I began teaching some of the alumni of my programs in one of the corporations where I teach, and I offered them one of the MSC practices, the mindful self-compassion practices that involves touching, you know, touching your heart or touching somewhere, that warming up gesture, and then bringing awareness to the difficulty and going through what we call soften, soothe, and allow practice, which I'm not going to do the whole thing of tonight, but at the end of that practice, I asked them for their experiences, and they were saying things like, oh my gosh, I could feel the emotion in my body. And I thought, you guys have taken my class, you've been coming to retreats, you've been coming to alumni programs, and you hadn't actually felt the emotion in your body, because we've been doing a lot of that, actually. And then some of them said, and I felt like I could allow it. And they were sort of shocked that they were able to allow it. And again, I thought, really? I thought we'd all been allowing all this time. And I mean, I'm sort of making a joke of it, but I was quite struck by that, because it is really hard to allow difficulties. And we do practice in that, and the mindfulness teaches us that, but there's something about this gesture and the language of self-compassion that I've been experiencing myself and finding in some of the students and my clients, that it actually feels safer and more accessible to be with yourself in pain, in emotional pain or difficulty, when you're using your gesture of self-compassion and bringing into your awareness some of these practices. So if you can find a gesture that feels comfortable to you right now, and just experimenting. Some of you might prefer your hands on, your hands on your face, your hands on your upper arms or forearms. I work with one person, he's a super intellectual kind of guy, and he likes to have one hand on his head and one hand on his heart, to connect his hand and his heart. I mean, his head and his heart. I like the one hand on the heart gesture. Some people like both hands on the heart and just relaxing the shoulders, arms, and hands. So just experimenting right now and see if you can find a gesture that does feel comfortable and sort of soothing to you, maybe. I'm not insisting that it soothes you, but something that you might enjoy, feels good to you, and you can feel some kind of warmth. And it can even just be holding your own hand. There is some research that has shown, and this doesn't mean it's truth, you know, all research keeps finding different things, but some research has shown that this gesture stimulates the release of oxytocin, which is the bonding chemical. And I actually feel like that now when I do this practice, that I'm connecting myself to myself. And in Thich Nhat Hanh's tradition, we have a set of phrases that he calls the phrases of true love, which begin with, I am here for you. I know you're here for me, and that makes me very happy. And then, I know you suffer. I'm here for you. I suffer too. Please help. And in this gesture, I feel like that is the mantra that we can use for ourselves. I am here for me. And I know I'm here, and I'm very happy about that. And I know part of me suffers. I'm here for you, this part of me that suffers. And so you are really with yourself with this practice. And over time, you know, those of you who practice all of this stuff, you know that at the beginning this is just ideas and words, and kind of you do it on purpose and you're learning a practice. But over time, I have found that this is very comforting. And in times of great difficulty, for example, in a relationship or in an emotion, something that's happening in your life, this gesture can kind of hold you And I'm going to say one more thing about this gesture. I'm going to tell you the words to a song. I didn't put this in your handout, but it's a song that was just created this year in Thich Nhat Hanh's community. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I am going to say the words. Hello, sadness. It talks about sadness, anger, and fear. Hello, sadness, I know you're here in me, and I can clearly see where you come from. Hello, old friend, I'll make a space for you. Inside my heart, this warm embrace for you. And I also have the joy, and I also have the love, and I also have the mindfulness. So I'll move on. Hello, anger, I know you're here in me, and I can clearly see where you come from. Hello, old friend, I'll make a space for you. Inside my heart, this warm embrace for you. And I also feel the calm, and I also have the laughter, and I also have the mindfulness, so I'll move on. Hello, fear, I know you're here in me, and I can clearly see where you come from. Now that clearly seeing, that might take a long time, but I can see where you come from. Hello, old friend, I'll make a space for you. Inside my heart, this warm embrace for you. And I also have the, let's see, wait a second, how does it go? with the anger, I also have the peace, and I also have the passion, and I also have the mindfulness. So I'll move on. That's the whole song. And to me, that is the epitome of our practice, actually, for dealing with the difficulties that arise in our lives. And it pairs with this gesture of self-compassion. So if you can find one of these gestures that you enjoy and feels comfortable, those gestures are a fundamental part of all the mindfulness practices in the self-compassion world of practices. And so, as you leave your hand wherever you would like to have it for your warming up gesture, doing a little bit of finding emotion and naming your emotion. So bringing awareness to any emotions that you might be experiencing right now. And there may not, some people might be having emotions that are identifiable, some people might not. It might just be pleasant or neutral or unpleasant or maybe some specific emotion. It could be small or big. But just seeing if you can name any emotion that you're experiencing right now. And giving it a name without thinking about it. Maybe saying hello to it. Hello, old friend. I know you're here. And then noticing, what are you feeling in your body as you're bringing awareness to experiencing any kind of emotion, no matter how small right now or no matter how big? And where do you have the strongest sense in your body, the strongest sensation in your body? It doesn't matter if it's caused by the emotion. And if it's easy, placing one hand there. So one hand in your self-compassion gesture, one hand on the place that you're feeling a strong sensation in the body. And just keeping yourself company with your heart and your body and your breathing. Finding emotion in the body is kind of the practice. Although I know from working with lots of people, it's not easy to find the emotion in the body. Not everybody can feel something in the body, but any sensation you're feeling that's the strongest sensation, whether or not it's from the emotion, but being in touch with your body and with emotion, and in the gesture of self-compassion, breathing in and breathing out. And then if you're not thinking of a difficult emotion right now, I'm going to invite you to bring into your awareness a difficult experience that's no more intense than a 3 on a scale of 10. This is very important. Sometimes hard to do. The safest thing to do is to pick something difficult that you're familiar with. It's something that you're used to having happen. It's a difficulty that you're accustomed to, that you know doesn't trigger a super strong reaction in you. It might be something that's annoying. It could be taking out the trash. It could be answering some emails. It could be a part of yourself, a person that you have to deal with, anything at all, but something familiar so you're not going to get surprised by a big reaction. And just picking something that is difficult but not too difficult. So a level 3 on a scale of 10 is kind of the rule in the Mindful Self-Compassion program, so you don't get swamped by emotions. So bringing into your awareness something difficult. And we're going to do what's called the self-compassion break practice. It's ultimately a brief practice you can do in a lot of different situations, and it has 3 parts. I'm going to guide you through it, then we're going to draw it so that you'll have a way to remember it. So bringing into your awareness the emotion that you're experiencing that goes with the difficult experience. Greeting it, saying hello to it, here you are, with your self-compassion gesture in place. And this is the part that's called mindful allowing. Naming, noting. Dan Siegel calls it name it to tame it. But just being with that difficulty. And then knowing that that difficulty is just a part of you, not all of you. And the rest of you is acknowledging it and maybe talking to it like you'd talk to a friend, saying, I know you're there. This is hard, or this is suffering, or this is really tough. Not trying to push it away, not reassuring, just being with yourself in the presence of this difficulty. Remembering that all things change. If you like, you might say something like, I'm here for you, or we're going to figure this out. Maybe we don't know now how, but I'm going to help you, this other part of myself. So however you might like to talk with this part of yourself that experiences the difficulty. And with the gesture and being there for yourself, with yourself, without pushing away the difficulty, but acknowledging it, taking care of it. This is the self-compassion part. And the third part of this practice is called common humanity. And in this part, we're just remembering that other people also experience things like this. Now, what I found is often people will say, no, they don't. But some people usually, somewhere in the world, someone has experienced something like what we're experiencing. And the reason for this is not to minimize it. It's to recognize that often we feel very alone when we're experiencing difficulties. And so to know that we're not as alone as we might feel. Other people feel this too. So just breathing in and breathing out. This is not a practice to solve anything or fix anything. It's being with yourself, taking care of the part of you that experiences the difficulty. And just noticing what you're experiencing in the presence of this practice that you're doing for the first time. And releasing the practice when you're ready. Drawing some circles. You might like to get up, draw some circles with your various joints. Just going to free up our body a little bit. So these circles we were doing in the beginning are very nice freeing kinds of practice. And there's a circle we didn't do in the beginning that is kind of nice, which is to just stand and let your arms swing around you and flop around you so you give your back and your tummy a little massage. Okay, your arms are like noodles. And you're lifting the heel opposite to the direction your arms are going in. So just breathing, kind of imagining you're a little kid playing with movement, seeing how high or low or fast or slow your arms want to go. And this is a spinal twist in motion, kind of massages the inner body a little bit, gives you a little bit of energy. And then any other circles you might enjoy with your chin, your shoulders, your elbows, your hands, your feet. and any stretches that might feel good to your body. It's always good to go back to the body. And if in the mindful self-compassion practices that we do, or that you might do after this presentation, if you do sort of start feeling like you're stuck in some difficulty, getting back into your body, even just doing the soles of the feet practice or mindful movement, can be very grounding, literally and figuratively. So it's good to go back to the body if you can. And stretching if you want to, and shaking out. So on your little white cards, I'm going to give you a diagram you can use for the little 3x5 cards just to kind of remember this practice. And it's just a Venn diagram, if you know what that is, of three circles. Two overlapping circles at the top and then an overlapping circle at the bottom. So these three circles represent the three parts of the mindful self-compassion break practice. So the first circle on the upper left is the mindfulness part. And we call that the allowing awareness of mindfulness. Hello, my difficulty. Here you are. I know you're here. And you use your gesture. So that's mindfulness or mindful allowing. Naming and allowing. And you can bring your gesture. If you listen to Kristen or Chris Skirmer guiding this, they'll often bring the gesture into the second part. I like to start the whole thing with the gesture. It's, you know, whatever you like best. The second circle up above on the upper right is the self-compassion part of the practice. And that's the part where your gesture is in place and you're kind of talking to yourself, kind of like in that words to that song I was saying to you. Hello, my difficult feeling. Here you are. I know where you come from. And you can say, I'm here for you, or just breathing with you. I know this is tough. This is a moment of suffering is one of the sentences that Chris and Kristen use. Any way you might like to kind of talk to that part of yourself like you would talk to a friend without reassuring or pushing away or distracting, just being with that part of yourself. And you might say, I like saying things like, I know this will change even if it doesn't feel like it right now, because usually when we're having difficulty, it doesn't feel like it's going to change. But it will change, and I'm going to do my best. We're going to get through this. So those are the things I like to say. So finding your own words over time. This is the self-compassion part. There's actually a beautiful 3-minute animation online on YouTube by Brené Brown with a fox that's feeling miserable and goes down into a hole. And a bear climbs down and puts his arms around the fox and says, I'm just here with you. I know you're suffering. And then a giraffe starts climbing down saying, oh, let's have a sandwich. At least it's not so bad. This other thing isn't so bad. That other thing isn't so bad. And the bear is just holding the fox and saying, I'm here. So that's actually an illustration of empathy, according to that little animation. But if you can translate it directly onto this practice, actually. So we are like the bear, and we are the fox, and we are just holding ourselves. And I think of this gesture as the bear holding the fox, actually. And so we're just being with ourselves. And remembering that we aren't as alone as we might feel, if we do feel alone, that other people experience things like this too. And that's the third part, the common humanity. And I just use the sentence, other people feel this too. I got that from Pema Chodron. Some of you may know Pema Chodron. That's her, she calls it Tonglen on the spot practice. Other people feel this too. But I like it for this common humanity piece, but you can also find your own words for that. The idea is just to remember that we're not as alone as we might feel when we're having difficulty, especially when we're caught in self-judgment. How many of you have been practicing for a long time, mindfulness for a long time? I don't know if any of you have experienced it, and I'm just going to reveal myself here, but I have experienced some difficulty in the past year that has allowed me to get to know a part of myself I actually really didn't know before. And it's a difficult part of myself, and now as a result of the practice, I see where it comes from. But it's not something I like, and I don't want it, and I have to keep watching it, and I have to keep practicing with it. It's very hard and painful to do that, and sometimes I think after you've been practicing a long time, you go deeper in yourself, and you have access to these deeper parts, you know, and you know, I have some family members who think, you know, really? You're supposed to be a mindfulness teacher? How come you have this difficulty? And my thought, you know, when I'm being compassionate to myself is, well, this has arisen, and now I have to bring my mindfulness to it. And it hadn't arisen before. It was covered over, I think. And so these practices really sometimes can be very difficult. So remembering that other people experience it too, and we can always bring our practice to whatever we're experiencing and whatever we're coming up against. And I find this so comforting myself. So I don't know if you will, but maybe you will also. So this is the mindful self-compassion break practice, just this three-part practice. You might make a note if you look online that there's a practice called Soften, Soothe, and Allow. That's a longer version of this. That's a very nice practice that you do in a lying down position, and you bring awareness to a difficulty, and you actually do something like this only longer, and it's quite a nice practice for being with yourself in the presence of something difficult. And always choosing something not too big when you're doing these practices, because it's easy to get swamped by emotion if you pick something big. People in my classes will often say, well, why should I bother with something small? I've got this big thing. And so, you know, there a lot of times people will pick the big thing, and then later they're saying, I'm suffering, I can't, you know. So then it's hard then to unwind that knot that tied. So we really do work with the lighter practices, the lighter difficulties in these practices, so that we can actually learn the practice and get used to it and get to know it before we want to bring it to something difficult. It's pretty important, actually. So it's time. I think maybe that's enough. I was going to do a practice called How Would You Treat a Friend? It's in your handout, but I think I would ruin the chance for any Q&A. How many of you would prefer to do this practice rather than have Q&A? Okay, I'll do this practice with you. We might end up going like till 9:05. Is that okay? Okay, all right. So this is a practice I really like. How would you treat a friend? And so for this practice, you might want to get out your handout and just take a look at it. I'm just going to take you through it. It's the second to the last page. So if you can think about a time when you had a friend, maybe even recently, who was having a difficult time. Again, you don't want to like pick something huge. But do you can everybody think of a friend who's had difficulty recently?
We can only do one.
And maybe feeling badly about themselves, like not feeling good about themselves. Can you think of something? Or maybe they're just struggling for some reason. So this is going to be a writing exercise, and you have your paper for this. Does everybody have a piece of paper and a pen? So this first is a mental experiment to kind of try to imagine how would you respond to your friend. And what it says here is when you're at your best. So how would your best self respond to this friend who's struggling, who's having difficulty, maybe feeling badly about themselves? And making some notes, you might want to just jot down the initials of the friend and maybe the nature of the difficulty. And then making some notes about how you might respond to this friend. What might you say and what would your tone be? How would you say it? When you've finished with that, checking with yourself and just noticing, what are you feeling in your body right now? Maybe there's some change of breathing or just noticing your breathing, any tension or ease, any vibrations, pulsing, just any sensations at all. and any emotions that you might be experiencing right now. And if you like, using your self-compassion gesture, just gently reminding yourself and soothing yourself in the practice of bringing awareness to how you might respond to a friend. And I think there's still some people writing, so we'll just wait a minute. You can rest whatever way you like, breathing in and breathing out. I'll wait for everybody to finish. So when you've finished making some notes about how you might respond to your friend, just noticing what are you feeling in your body, what emotions are present. And then bringing into your awareness some way in which you've been struggling and maybe not feeling so great about yourself. Again, do your best, please, to pick something not too big. I know that's hard. You could pick the same thing you've already worked with in the self-compassion break. That might be protective. And then see if you can remember, how do you normally respond to yourself when you're experiencing something like this, where you're struggling and maybe you don't feel so good about yourself? How do you respond to yourself? What do you typically do, say, and what's your tone with yourself? Making some notes. When you're finished with noting what you might do and say and the tone of it, again, using your self-compassion gesture, soothing, being with yourself, breathing in and breathing out. If your body tightens up, you can also add a little to the soothing by gently sighing on your out-breaths. And then noticing, was there a difference in how you would respond to a friend and how you respond to yourself, how you would respond to yourself? And just asking yourself what factors or fears might come into play that might lead to the difference in how we treat ourselves and how we treat others in the presence of difficulty. And experimenting with imagining, bringing that same tone and that same kind of response that you brought to your friend, I'm kind of assuming it was good to your friend, to yourself, what would that be like? So just experimenting, bringing that kind of response and that kind of tone to yourself in the presence of the difficulty you're working with. Being that friend for yourself. And you might leave your gesture in place to support that if you like. And if you've finished, you might just check your body. Has it tensed up anywhere? You might like to just notice and breathe to the tension, if there's any tension. Draw some circles to free up your body. And if you are finished and completed with this practice, if you would place both hands on your chest so I can tell when everyone is ready for the next part. Thank you. I'm just going to read you what it says on this paper. You can read it yourself, and I'm going to read it to you. This is from the Greater Good Science Center, which posted this practice, actually. Research suggests that people are usually harder on themselves than they are on others. Rather than motivating them to succeed, it often makes a mistake or stressful situation even more stressful, to the point that we simply might avoid new or challenging experiences for fear of failing or eliciting a new wave of self-criticism. I mean, we're all different, but these things can happen. So this exercise is asks you to notice the difference between the way you typically treat the people you care about and the way you typically treat yourself. And this doesn't assume that we all treat ourselves worse, but I think a lot of us can. So there is some research that shows that treating yourself more compassionately can benefit your physical and mental health. And actually, if you go to Kristen Neff's website, or you find this, the whole set of MSC core skills online, which is pretty easy to find. There are four pages on the science of self-compassion. So Kristen Neff generated this whole field of self-compassion about 10 years ago. She has a PhD in psychology, and she's at University of Texas. She studied with an expert in the field of self-esteem. And some of you may know that the research on freshmen shows that in the last 40 years, empathy has decreased by about 40%. As measured in college freshmen, and what's called narcissism or whatever, self-centeredness, has increased comparably, and that the major difference has happened since the year 2000, since the internet and social media. And so the self-compassion is really an antidote to that in a way, and it's what she says is self-esteem is great to have, but the way we get self-esteem is by comparing ourselves with others, and that actually doesn't lead to self-compassion or kindness necessarily. And it's wanting to be good and good enough and so forth. And so cultivating, it's great to have self-esteem, but cultivating self-compassion is actually more healing within ourselves and between ourselves and other people. So there's just a huge amount now increasingly available to read about this and study and practices to do. I think I'll ask you to just talk again with a partner, maybe a different partner, about what was your experience of doing this practice. Again, you don't need to share anything private, but just find one person to share with briefly about what happened when you did this comparison of how would you treat a friend and how would you treat yourself. Okay? Was it beneficial? Did you find out anything? So just briefly sharing out loud with each other in a mindful way. Maybe just a quick check-in. 45 seconds each.
So I do.
So coming back when you're ready. I'd like to read you a brief paragraph, and actually I'm going to play a song for you on my computer. Some of you may have heard this. It kind of went around last year. It's by Ram Dass. It's just one paragraph. When you go out into the woods and you look at the trees, you see all these different trees. Some of you know this? Some of them are bent. Some of them are straight. Some of them are evergreens. Some of them are whatever. And you look at the tree and you allow it. You see why it is the way it is. You sort of understand that it didn't get enough light, and so it turned out that way. And you don't get all emotional about it. You just allow it. You appreciate the tree. The minute you get near humans, you lose all that and ourselves. And you're constantly saying, you're to this or I'm to that. The judging mind comes in. And so Ram Dass says, y'all know who Ram Dass is? Anyway. And so I practice turning people into trees, which means appreciating them just the way they are. So I love that. So I'm going to play a song for you that is actually from Kristen and Chris's training. And it's a YouTube. So I'm going to make this full screen and hold it up and play it and let you watch the pictures as they go by. And I've printed the words on the back of your handout. It's called the Japanese Bowls. Can y'all see this? Put this up. Here's the mic. The words will come soon.
Some cracks.